coming up on KUCB News. Overworked police officers and toxins in Alaska's seafood. Stay tuned.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Wednesday, January 11th, 2017. Staffing at Unalaska's Department of Public Safety was the focus of last night's City Council meeting. City Manager Dave Martinson says there simply aren't enough police officers to cover the workload. In the last year, he says the department has denied 20 leave requests because of insufficient staffing.
At the end of the day, I don't have enough hours of coverage to afford people to do what they need to do to stay fresh.
The department needs 11 officers, but right now there are only 6. Public safety has relied on overtime to cover staffing holes, but Martinson says that's not a long-term solution. It's risky.
One of the biggest concerns I have is fatigue causes short temper, which causes conflict. And that's not what we're trying to do. We don't want the conflict. We want to address issues in a calm, professional, personal manner to get voluntary compliance to take care of business.
But it's hard to find police officers willing to work on the island where the cost of living is high and starting salary is only about $30 an hour. 2011 was the last year the force was fully staffed, and Mayor Frank Kelty has concerns the department hasn't been able to fill positions that are already open.
We can't compete with what Anchorage and Fairbanks and communities on the road system have to offer. So where are we going to get officers? Are we going to have to go to Southeast United States or the Dakotas or somewhere to try and get officers to fill up positions?
The answer, yes. Holman says public safety already has a nationwide search underway. Department officials have made recruiting trips to Alaska, to Arizona, and soon to Wisconsin. The city has proposed adding 3 more positions to public safety staff, but only Councilor Roger Rowland supported the idea.
I just have a problem sitting here as a council member saying, oh, we value you, we like you so much, we want this, but you want to work overtime for the rest of your career because we're only going to give you one more officer.
Some were open to adding one additional officer, but many, like Councillor Udelka LeClaire, said the current staffers should be the priority.
What are we doing for the officers currently in staff to ensure that they are not fatigued, not stressed, that they are going to remember, protect, and serve, and have that positive engagement with our community?
The fire department was not immune from staffing discussions either. The department has about 21 volunteers, but only a third respond to each call. LeClaire expressed concern that the city isn't getting a good value for the volunteers it pays to put through training.
I'm a firm believer that if we're paying for something, we're training you, and you're using that as a title to get a job somewhere else and take it from this community, then you need to put the time back in the community, and that's why I feel that we need to have a check and balance, and we can only gain that once we have the fire chief and have those communications.
The council agreed that adding another paid leadership position, senior fire captain, would be a step in the right direction. Councilors said they will continue discussing public safety staffing at future meetings. Alaska's seafood remains free of detectable Fukushima-related radiation. That's according to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. The department, along with other state, federal, and international agencies, has been testing Alaska's seafood since 2013. After the 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan, food safety authorities, including the FDA, reported it would be highly unlikely that the radiation would affect Pacific seafood in the U.S. U.S. But there was still significant public concern in Alaska, says Marlana Brewer, the spokesperson for the DEC.
Fishing is such a huge part of our lives here, so I think that there was just an overwhelming concern. They wanted to see, you know, Alaska-specific data.
Food safety inspectors were already collecting samples around Alaska as part of a normal food safety operation. In 2013, they began collecting additional samples to send to the FDA lab in Massachusetts to test for Fukushima-related radiation. Species tested include king, chum, sockeye, and pink salmon, halibut, pollock, sablefish, herring, and Pacific cod. Last year, Alaska was selected as the first state test site for implementation of a field-deployable gamma-ray analysis system to analyze fish for radionuclides. The system is housed in Anchorage. The FDA continues to analyze the results, but now the samples are tested in-state.
The idea is that in the unfortunate event that there's another incident like Fukushima, that FDA would be able to deploy these instruments to other states so that they could get some real-time monitoring data instead of kind of scrambling after the fact and trying to coordinate these sampling efforts like we have.
Brewer says they will continue to test Alaska seafood specifically for Fukushima-related radiation for at least one more year. None has been detected since testing began. Shellfish is a staple in many homes throughout southeast Alaska, but it also can be a hazard. A new lab in Sitka tests regularly for shellfish toxins and is now teaching more than a dozen tribes in the region to do the same. Global warming could increase the level of toxins, so as KCAW's Emily Russell reports, tribes are working fast to take the mystery out of what's blooming on their shores.
Jen Hamblin has purple plastic gloves on and a long black apron. She's shucking blue mussels, the kind you might find served in a seafood restaurant.
I love chowder. I must say my appetite for raw shellfish has decreased since I began this position.
Hamblin is a fisheries biologist for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. She scrapes the meat off the shells into a little white bowl. When she has at least 100 grams worth of blue mussel meat, she empties the bowl into a blender. She sets the timer for 3 minutes and turns it on high.
The fancy word for that is called homogenization, but shellfish smoothies is the other term we like to use.
The tribe started blending up shellfish and testing them in the lab because of the growing concern over paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP, a sometimes fatal illness caused by toxins in algae.
People want to know, can we go out? Is it safe or is it not? Because it is an easy subsistence resource to harvest here. There's shellfish everywhere.
Michael Jamros directs the tribe's research lab, which opened last year.
When I showed up a year ago, the lab was basically a bunch of boxes, and I pretty much had to go from there ordering the rest of supplies and getting the lab set up.
It's all set up and fully functioning now. That's a good thing, since a study published last month reports that since 1997, the annual production of algae in the Arctic has risen by nearly 50%. Chris Whitehead, the environmental program manager for the tribe, says warmer ocean temperatures make for better breeding grounds for toxins.
Just like your garden, you know, if you water it and it's warm and sunny out and you give it fertilizer, everything does really well. It's the same with these vegetative cells in the marine system, too.
That's why their weekly tests are so important, Whitehead says. And now more than a dozen other tribes in the region are also testing for toxins.
Communities like Wrangell and Ketchikan and Juneau and Yakutat and Hoonah.
People are out digging all the time.
Ian Johnson is the environmental coordinator for the Hoonah Indian Association.
If I was to just guess, I would say over 50% of the community consume clams, maybe probably more, might be 70-80%.
Three people died in 2010 from paralytic shellfish poisoning, including one from Hoonah, and others have gotten sick since. That's why Johnson says people are eager for his weekly test results, which he started in October, but soon he ran into a problem. People have different names for the same clams. Take Pacific little neck clams. Some people call them steamer clams. Others, Johnson says, just differentiate between edible and inedible clams. So he published an online survey about shellfish names.
I was just trying to tap into sort of this local basin knowledge and try to understand what people call these different species of clams so that I can communicate the results better with them.
Johnson released results from the survey online and continues testing the water for toxins each week. If levels are unsafe, Johnson can send in shellfish samples to get blended up and tested in Sitka. The batch of mussels in the blender right now is from Petersburg, a community 90 miles east of Sitka. They were flown in just this morning. After 3 minutes, the mixture is then run through a series of tests to determine if the mussels in Petersburg are safe to harvest. Shellfish samples are flown in from other tribes almost every week, which helps fisheries biologist Jen Hamlin iron out the kinks in the lab. Outside of the lab is a different story.
A problem we encountered today is that there's frozen mussels on the beaches right now. So we'll have to look at how to do sampling in Southeast Alaska when we have cold snaps like the one we're experiencing now.
She may not be eating much raw shellfish herself, but Hamblin has an appetite to get it right, because the one variable that won't change is the local demand to know whether the fruits of the sea are safe to eat. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Russell.
Over in Sandpoint, the latest tests for paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP, are too high. According to Bruce Wright of the Aleutian-Pribilof Islands Association, the level of the PSP toxin is nearly twice the Food and Drug Administration's recommended limit. And in King Cove, preliminary test results show levels of the toxin are below the recommended limit. Signs of poisoning include numbness in the lips, mouth, and tongue, shortness of breath, and vomiting. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.